toward the end of the Vietnam War. That became it was Cambodia's Holocaust. Pol Pot decided that anybody who had an education, anybody who wasn't fit for agricultural work, was to be exterminated. And in fact, there's still museums there, and even places where you can go where they call the. If you've seen the movie The Killing Fields, then you know what that scenario was like. And there are some killing fields that have been preserved in Cambodia for people to go and visit. And Jane and I have been there, thanks to Sukhum. And there are still remains that are surfacing. When there's a rain, there are some remains that are surfaced from the people that were killed. Several million Cambodians were killed during that. In that time, Sukhum fled, came to the United States. And whether you believe in luck or serendipity or God's direction, he wound up in a community of Cambodians in the Dallas area. And there was a gospel outreach in there. And Sukhum accepted the gospel, became a Christian. And I remember Sukhum telling me, I hope I don't see all your thunder. Sukhum told me he would drive the bus to pick up other Christians to come to the worship service, and thought, man, this is what a great, I'm so pleased to be able to serve God. I never thought I could serve God in such a meaningful way. And that is a meaningful service. But God has called him to far more meaningful service than that. And he's the head, the Cambodia head of the Cambodia Christian Ministries, which is operating Kampong Spu, in southwest of Phnom Penh, and he'll tell you more about that. But we're glad to have him here. He's going to speak in the class. He wants to tell you a little bit about what's going on in Cambodia Christian Ministries, and then open the floor for some questions. So as he's speaking, think about questions you might have. What do you want to know more about? What do you want to learn more about? And then we'll kind of do a Q&A toward the end of class. And then he's going to speak to us in our sermon this morning. But we're glad to have Sukhum here. Let's start our time together with a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this holiday season that brings families together, that brings friends together, that we celebrate what we're thankful for. We stop and pause and reflect on all the wonderful things you do for us and you give to us. We're thankful for this time, this season. We're thankful for this day to come together and worship you and to encourage others. We pray that we might have our minds focused on exactly that, our mission and our purpose here, to worship you and to encourage one another. We're thankful for Sukhum and his work and his ministry, and we're thankful for the lives that are being touched and changed in Cambodia and even around the world because of ministries like his and like the Ukraine Bible Institute that we were so pleased to learn about more about last week. So we pray your blessings on Brandon Price and Sukhum Hunt and their families and the work that they do and so many others that are working in fields that are foreign to us. We pray that you bless them in their work. Watch over and protect them. We pray that you bless this time we have together this morning. And we offer this prayer in your name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Sukhum, come on up, and I think we both have our mics on, so maybe we can move around and talk.
Okay. Good morning, Cambodians. Greetings. Do like this, and thank you so much. I'm so grateful to have such a family in America. I say family and spiritual family.
May we give you a traditional Cambodia greeting?
Yeah.
All right. You want to tell them hello in Khmer? Chum. Rib. Sur. So, ready?
Okay.
Chum Rib Sur.
Chum Rib Sur. Okay.
Now, for us older ones, we don't have to bow as far. The younger ones, you'll have to bow further. But it's Chum Rib Sur.
Thank you for David and eldership here to allow David to go and teaching the Bible class over there. Like David, he mentioned about, you know, the wars in Cambodia, the war in Ukraine now. 1970, so with me, it's about 50 years ago, Cambodia had war. Then I am just about 13 years old when the war started. And you know, growing up in a small village and when aged 13 years old, fighting and gunshot, and 15 years old, carry the gun, go to the front line and fighting there. And I don't have nothing about the Christianity or word of Jesus or the gospel. When I growing up, only heard about Buddhist religion and some sort of power, spirit power. And so in my lifetime, live in Cambodia, war, when the children work in a rice field and a farm, then the war fighting when I'm 15, 18, in the prison of war, in the prison for 2.5 years, then eagerly try to escape. Many people kill, and my family, many people die. So when I escape, I heard the good news in the camp. So imagine is the whole country is there is no good news, only bad news about war. Then escape from the country, get to the camp, heard about good news of Jesus. It's completely changed. Then I able to manage myself and apply, come to United States, then come to U.S. I give my life to the Lord in July 81. After that, I commit myself to serving God. I don't want to return to Cambodia at all, zero, because my life go through all that, you know, war and prison and torturing and starving. It's a bad. So when I believe in God, I had to, when I read the Bible, study the Bible, and I had to serve God, but I don't have no skill, no Bible degree. I just read in my Bible and learn there to say, when I become a Christian, I had to be, God put us here to serve. And my commitment, because the man, he drive the bus, pick me up from the street. So I become Christian with the bus driver. So I commit myself to drive bus for 5 years. After that, Cambodia refugee in Dallas area keep growing. And I call all my friends that I know, come together, start a church. We call Cambodia the Church of Christ in Dallas area. Start with 5 men and women, I mean 5 couples. Then we growing until 125 people in the church. And we have, I say word chaos, not word chaos, but people, knowledge of people, try to bring some different ideas, come to worship. Then I confront them, then they don't like me. My plan, when I'm meeting, is say, well, we come together, try to reach out to Cambodia in East Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth. But on that meeting, somehow the word from my mouth, I never planned, I said, beyond that, we can bring the gospel to Cambodia. And I say without plan at all. And now I believe must be God put that word in my mouth. Because I refuse to go back. You know, I sent my son. I have a young, the younger children is a boy. And then my mindset, he born in Dallas. I said, when he growing up, I couldn't send him to the Bible school. I love Harding University. The mission mind there. My plan to send my son to the Bible school so he can serve the Lord. And I tried to hide myself in East Dallas. I built a nice house in the wood area. My hobby is fishing and hunting. And I tried to learn how to forgot about my life in Cambodia because I had 25 years for nightmare in the wartime. Then start with this. When I, how many people know Herman David?
Herman Alexander, Dr. Herman Alexander.
Yeah. Herman Alexander. When the church had problem, I want to go to Bible school because I want to have the church to be the mature church and to be follow the Bible only, not follow man idea. So I went to Bible school, meet Herman, and Herman introduced me to Cambodia. I said, Herman, I'm come from Cambodia, and I don't want to return at all. Then he stick the Bible with me, to me, and say, why you coming here for? I said, just learn the Bible for myself, for my faith to the Lord. I say, God has purpose for you. You know, I tell my life to him, how I growing up, how I escaped, how I getting here. So say, God save your life for his purpose. Then I keep refuse, but one day, he said, just come with me to have translator. Then I go over there for translator for him teaching seminar. Then a young boy come in, look terrible. Then find out he had appendicitis. Then say, need to take him out. He said, no, I have to have $300 to get admitted to the hospital. And I don't have cash with me. Herman do not have cash with me. Then we tell him tomorrow we're going to get ATM machine and get cash and send that boy to the hospital. And we come back, that boy died. So Herman looked at me and said, so come here, start medical mission. So medical mission started, that medical mission, when we started, that the gospel brought into Cambodia. You know, medical mission is a grateful, when I come to the camp, I am sick. I don't have no food, no clothes, and I have my wife and my two nephews carry with me. And in my mind saying, Cambodia need doctor, Cambodia need medicine. And when I come to United States, more than that, Cambodia needs salvation, more important. Then one mind, I say, not go back to Cambodia. One mind is Cambodia people need Jesus. So Herman looked at me and said, come, you need to come back. And I refuse all the time. Story long, short, that when Herman cannot make it that time, Mike Mayhofer, the friend of David, asking me, he says, first Herman asked him, then he refused again, then I talked to him about Cambodia, so he take my word and we go there for medical mission. After medical mission, Mike looked at me, he said, come, you need to go back to Cambodia. Come back to Cambodia. I said, no, I can come for 1 week, not the whole time. So he stick at the Bible again, open the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 to 9. Then I read it. I am the story of four lepers. I am the one of the leper. And verse 9, that appeared in my heart. Because I received the food, received the medicine, received the grace from God, and I tried to hit myself in Dallas area. As I doing that, one day, God couldn't be punished me. So I wake up. I had to bring the gospel to Cambodia, the good news. So when the good news go there, we have medical mission. It's amazing to bring the gospel through the medical mission. Because when we study Book of Matthew, Jesus go village to village, then he healing, he teaching about the kingdom. We do the same. We teaching about the kingdom, say that Jesus is a giver of the forgiveness, and the people talk about forgiveness, no clue. Jesus has power, no clue. So we have started with medical mission, then next slide. Then, like we go to village, like we copy of apostle in Jesus' time, Book of Acts. And one day, he put the good news, Acts chapter 9, chapter 29. So Cambodia there is the first time they never heard the good news, just by 13 years ago that I bring the good news to the village. So we teach in the village, the people open, even we use a Buddhist temple place to teaching the gospel. We use a public school. We use just under mango tree. Everywhere we go is the government very open. Next slide. Okay. So after about 6 months, when I doing that, when I read Matthew again, chapter 10, verse 38, about the field is so big, and I am myself. Then I think about how do you bring the gospel all over the Cambodia, about that time about 12 million people when 13 years ago. And many Christians, some other Christians, they go there, but they not, the way they approach them, they bring church, not bring Jesus. So when I learned that, I thought to myself, you know, when I learned that, I thought about school in America, like Abilene Christian University, Lubbock Christian, Oklahoma Christian University. So my mindset said, well, we need to start school. So we started school after 6 months in Cambodia. We call it Cambodia Bible School. Then the school started in the city. Then I bring the student coming in the city. Then after they finish, they don't want to go back to their own village. I plan, try to educate them to bring the gospel back to the village. But when they come to the city, they like city, they don't go back. So what I gonna do? And some coming and they like 4 or 5 months, they quit in school, they go to work because they want to see the people make money in the city. So the sponsor church in Midland, they sponsor by the Bible school. They told me about a 10-year plan. They give me 10 years from 2014 to 24. I had to be self-sustained. So, man, what am I going to do? So we bought the land. The church there helped buy the land. Then to self-sustain, I had to have enough land to growing crop. So we have about almost 80 acres. 78 acres right now, the field there.
We can start the video whenever you want to.
Yeah, I want to share with you.
We have about a 4 or 5 minute video. Can we kind of lower the house lights a little bit? And if I've loaded this right, hopefully when I press the next button, the video will start. Are you going to kind of tell us what we're looking at when we go through the video?
Yeah, okay. So the land there, when it started, we bought that in 2015. Then all jungle. Then we clear. We took me 1 year to clear all the jungle out, wood out. You see, we clear right now. Say when I talk with jungle, probably not believing. The land is the farming. They don't want to do farm because the land is not good, right on the river and with flood. But they not flat because Cambodia they like flat land to growing young rice. So we clean out for 1 year. Then 2016, I started. And first we talk about clinic, we build a clinic. We have a clinic over there with three doctors working. And the school, I build three dormitories. You see that three building there? Maybe too fast, a little too fast.
Wonder if we can go back.
Go back. So we have the place for school for started, like start from the first building there is the clinic. Then you see that three buildings on the stern.
So may I real quick? So here's the gate into the property right here.
Yeah.
And this is the property all the way back to these buildings back here. Uh-huh. Is this still the clinic? Is that where the clinic is?
Yeah, that's the clinic.
Okay. And then when you talk about the three dorms, it's these three dorms here as you come in. This is a neighbor.
Yeah, neighbor.
Mm-hmm. This is a next door neighbor. And well, last time Jenny and I were there, he was in a hut. So he's built a house since then.
He built a house there. Okay. Then
he's coming up. All right. Okay. Can you guys play? Can you move the video forward?
Okay.
Let's try this.
But
here we go.
Okay. So in the front part there, we had clinic. We had three dorm. We had guest house. Like David and Jen go there stay for teaching. And we have like multi-building for multi-purpose use building. And right now I build 8-bedroom guest house. So we have people go over there teaching Bible, teaching English. So we have a place to stay there, and we build purified water. We give water to the village people. So that place has a clinic. We serve village. We have 12 villages surround us, and we serve as the clinic with feeding program and teaching English. We have the place we build the cabin, can host like 250 people can come to stay there. So each year we bring all the men and women from different province come for seminar 3 to 4 times a year.
This is where Sacoma is, and this is where we have our school, where we have the classes that we teach. There. And here's some of the dorms for teachers when they come to visit.
Then I build a I call it Texas barn, and it put the Texas
The Texas barn?
Texas barn. Uh-huh. Well, that for the student cafeteria. We eat up there, cook food over there.
What's this little thing right here?
I try to build another place, another house.
Another house? Okay.
On the top there. So the pond there, we raise fish. So we just scoop the fish from the pond and cook in the kitchen there.
And these cabins here?
The cabin for housing for seminar. People come into have seminar there. All the cabin there. For the future, for the self-sustain, we're going to rent the cabin, you know, beside the seminar to
rent the
people come to do the camp. And back there is like a farm. We raise coconut. We put the coconut. We plan to put 2,000 coconut tree, but the flood killed. We got only 1,200 right now, half of them.
And this pad here, you're talking about putting a school there, right?
Yeah. Can you pause there a little bit? I want to share this. When I growing up, very poor, and Cambodia, education is very low, very poor. My family, I have 8 siblings, and the everyone goes to school, but only like go to 5th or 6th grade, then they stop. Cannot afford to go to high school. So my dream when I come to Dallas, I learn about Dallas Christian School.
Can you stop it?
They teaching the general education. When I go back to Cambodia, I see the village kid run around. I ask them, why you not go to school? I said, my parents cannot afford it. And the school so far. So I talked to the CCM board and say, well, you know, Cambodia have the orphan because of war, and they have a lot of orphanage, the whole country, some area. But the orphanage they bring in, they go to public school, and the public school they're not talking much, they're not teaching much. After they have 12th grade, if some of them cannot even reading, come on. So our plan, want to put the school and the orphan in the center. Please pray for this. That my dream. Want to help all the kids because that area there very far from the city, about 30 kilo, and transportation is they don't provide at all. We want to build a school there and bring the kids around there to help them from 1st to 12th grade. But we start from 1st to 6th grade elementary school first, then the orphanage. Going to build there, then the kid, when they're growing up, we put in the school that I plan and hope to happen. So why I bring this video, you can see that Cambodia Christian Ministry, in 5 years, when we start in the city, now we come in the village, and my plan, my commitment only 5 years, and now it's 13 years. I don't know I couldn't return or not, but I give this to the Lord, whatever use me, because I never plan to go back at all. And now I'm there. And so the school there is just not just for the Bible. They have medicine, they have clean water, they have children to learning English, learning Bible, and we have seminar. We raise fish and chicken and cows. And more than that, we're going to have the orphanage in their place. You know, good is the people there, they call us Jesus' place. They say, go to Jesus' place has clean water. We provide purified water. Go to Jesus' place, we have medicine. Go to Jesus' place, they're teaching us about moral. Go to Jesus' place, we learn about Jesus. Give us the salvation. So many good things there. When we moved there the first time, they tried to kick us out because the first year we go there, they drought, they don't have no rain. So the people of Cambodia, they believe about the power of sources. So after 2 years, they say, Jesus' place is very grateful. Our children go to Jesus' place, never problem. And feeding the children, so amazing how the school helping. Okay.
This back half, you said it was kind of the farm where you're trying to be self-sustaining and you're trying to raise cows and you have a fish hatchery, yep. You're raising frogs, and yeah, this is all for so that your students can be self-sustaining?
Before I came, we sold 5 ton of frog. Imagine 5 ton of frog.
Here's a barn and here's some ponds that you're raising.
Yeah, the coconut.
Coconut? And,
yeah, the pond there we raise fish. We try to hatch, get our own hatchery place going on. And I clean up the pond, make it deeper. In the future, we're going to raise fish and people. We're not far from the city, about an hour and a half from the city. And the people stretch out is right now about 6 million in the capital, small city. So they want to go out and Cambodia eat fish every day. Fish in the breakfast, fish at lunch, fish in dinner.
And rice.
And rice 3 times a day. Yeah. So,
and this is your fish hatchery here.
That's the frog, the blue one.
Frogs here?
The frog and the fish hatchery there.
Okay.
Yeah, the little.
So this is the back. And the back of the property is surrounded by a river. And when you talked about the flooding, you had flooding a couple of years ago.
Yeah, three-time flooding while we built the levee. Yeah. So before I put coconut here, now we change to rice field. So we have about 15 acres plant rice. And right now the...
And this is how many acres?
The total land is about 78 acres.
78?
Yeah, we use about 15 acres for the rice, about 15 acres for the coconut field, and the rest is a pond and some other raising animal.
You have the school has about an 80% retention rate for the folks that have gone through the school who continue in ministry of some sort. A handful of the students have stayed on at the campus to work with the fish hatchery and for the cattle and for the frogs and to do a lot of the maintenance, a lot of work there, and some translators. But almost the rest of the ones who graduated, of the 80% that have remained faithful, have gone back to their villages and they're preaching and teaching in their home villages now. All right, Brother, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to share that the lady in the van next to the van high school. When we go there, the road is very, about, 15 miles from the main road. And 15 miles take an hour to get into that school because they're not road there. Right now, they build the roads back and forth easier. But that time, when we go there, you see the lady hold the baby. At midnight, because we have a clinic there and three doctors, First time when I get there, right away about second day when we moved there, I had a phone call like 12:30 in the morning at midnight. My wife had need to go to the hospital get delivery baby, and we don't have no transportation. Nobody come in the middle of the night, and they're afraid to get school or motorbike. So we have serving 32 delivery help bring the woman had delivery baby. And one time, our doctor in the van there had a baby in the road. So it's not just helping bring the gospel there. We have all sorts of the people there. And now our school is next to Buddhist temple. And the people around there, once a lady sees 70 years old, say, I'm born and raised here. The Buddhist people never helping us. When Jesus people came. They're grateful they helping us. So how's the gospel being open in Cambodia? Well, I want to share this now.
All right.
Okay. So feeding program, we're feeding children. Once a lady from Singapore, but right now she stopped because of the COVID. We feed 3 times a month, and between 200 to 300 kids each time coming to the center. And we're not just feeding, we're teaching about hygiene, teaching about how they're growing up for more moral. And after that, the parents come and thank you for helping children.
Jenny and I were there for one of the feedings, and they made an enormous pot, and there's some chicken in there, some meat, some fish, which is not always common for some of the poor kids at home. And so they flocked there. And there was a couple hundred kids, and the first thing they did was line them up. This is, you wash your hands before you eat. You come and you wash your hands. And so they washed their hands. They sat down and eat. And I watched, Jenny and I watched a little brother and sister, I guess they were brother and sister, sitting there. And the older boy looked at his bowl and saw he had a little more in his bowl than his sister did. So they carefully measured out. So he made sure that she had just as much as he did.
Well, I had 3 children born and raised in Dallas. And I brought them back because they kind of spoiled. I said, Dad, we don't have nothing after the open refrigerator. But I bring back to Cambodia, and now they appreciate the life here.
All right.
Teaching, talk about teaching. When we moved there first year, the children keep coming in the center. Then we ran out. We don't have no building yet at that time. So we're teaching outside. And, you know, like the first day they have about 30-something kids. The next day going 60. The third day going to 90 children. Then it's amazing how the kids, they hungry for the word. Even English, they like to learn English. And whatever you, we teaching, the parents very open. As long as we teaching, they don't care about teaching the word from the Bible, just teaching them, the children, they very, very pleased with it.
So the English classes are usually Bible stories.
Yeah.
So they learn English through the Bible stories. We've got about 10 minutes left. Okay. Is there something you want to share? You want to take some questions?
Yeah, take some questions.
All right. Anybody have any? Yeah. Larry?
Yeah, we have students and the worker. There right now we have about 36 people in the center. With the student. So every time we cook food, eat. Sometimes I cook hamburger, make hamburger for them. I had to make like 40 hamburger. So feeding like one family over there.
They also run a water well drilling operation that kind of got shut down with COVID, but they do that. They're working on orphanage. They're working on elder care. And so they've got quite a few. And you saw the groundwork they're doing, in expanding the ponds and growing the ponds and building the levees and building that. And so they have a fairly decent staff there. Okay.
Well, with the, we talk about self-sustain, we couldn't raise enough for the worker, for the student, and we plan to make extra to sell to the market to bring some income. That's our goal. And more than that, I work with the local house church we call Leader Care. Right now, 482 house church that I've been going around the country. And we want to teach them to be self-sustained because some of them, they receive support from the rich country, from other country. Then they work for money, they not work for the Lord. When they cut off support, they don't want, they not serve the Lord no more. So we want to help them to raise, and we give them a little fish, a baby fish, then they raise up and put in sale, or they feed their own family, then they pay back when they got that, what that I plan.
And there's a ton of that when you talk about leader care. You know, some of us remember the good old days when you'd throw up a tent and call it a revival, everybody in town showed up. That's Cambodia. Everybody shows up, not only just from town, but from hours away in the neighboring villages. We did one in the middle of a rice field. I don't remember where we were, but we waited like an hour to start because there were people on their way from a long way away to come be a part of that, from every denomination, everything, and we just stand out there and just teach gospel, just teach the Bible. And so a lot of those people became house church leaders through a denominational work, but they're being brought into the, teaching the full gospel, the full kind of the scriptures. And the idea is if they can become independent from the support they're receiving from a denomination, then they're free to teach the gospel the way the gospel's taught, not free to teach it the way the denomination presents it to them.
The time, I'm sorry, I want to conclude with the David talk about, when I go there, I talk about people from the United States, from Canada, from Australia, from Europe, they bring church and not bring Jesus. Yeah. Then they go in the denomination like, oh, I am Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm New Life Church, all the church, but there is no church, you know, we don't have Church of Christ yet in the whole country. And goodness, they, when I go approach them, they open, because I just open, lay down the Bible, I'm teaching straight from the Bible. Then they open eyes and say, wow, look, many people, they have plain drawing and a paper and pass to everyone about teaching. But we share from the Bible only. They very love it. And one day, we have about 37 and say, well, we put wall, this group, their group. Now can we come together and say, yes, amen. Then the church name, then open the Bible, all the letter, Paul letter, written to the Corinthian, to Philippi, to all the church, and I said, wow, I never thought of that. So now we work with 482 house church leaders. They are friendship. They work together like a soldier for Christ. And my plan is, Lord willing, I'm going to reach out the whole province, I mean, the whole country. Right now we have 17 provinces of the 24. So I have some more to go. And my plan probably 3 more years to reach out all over the Cambodia through the medical mission and through the student Bible school.
Thank you, brother. So what level of care is provided at the medical clinics, right?
We have two different clinics in the center just have, like, it's not major sickness. You know, we have 3 doctors just exam, kind of, if they have fever, a small thing, we give medicine. But for surgery, we don't have it. For some big issue, we cannot. Medical mission, we go to the field, we have this track of 2 and give an eyeglass to them, and you know we examine what kind of sickness they and we give medicine what we can, because we do that for 9 days, and because too many people sick, and when we go to the village, if we take 100 patients, it won't work, so we have to take 1,000 patients a day. And mention 1,000, and sometimes one the higher one we are able to do 1,600 per day, 1,600. So a lot of people line it up.
You have a team of doctors and nurses, often from Taiwan, right?
Yeah, we have people around. Like this year, Cambodia opened again. So in February, our team going from we have. 2 nurses from Canada already bought a ticket, and we have 2 doctors from Malaysia, 1 doctor from Australia, and we have the team of doctors from Eyeglass and a dentist from Philippines. So with Khmer doctor, I have military doctor, non-Christian, and we want to bring the gospel to the military too. So we have a military doctor work in the field because they have, you know, more power to go to everywhere. So our team, when we go out, have 55 people with helper and nurse and doctor.
Do you have a
question?
I wondered if the Buddhists, if they persecuted the Christians?
The whole 13 years, only one time. I go to one village because their village very strong hold of communists during the communist time. the real uniform of communists. I asked, we got the permit, everything, but when the, one guy sneak it in, when we're teaching Bible, they say, oh, we give you only permission for medical mission while you're teaching Bible. They're accusing us for politics. I say, no, we're not doing your politics here. We're teaching the love of Jesus. Can you bring the material for the material for your teaching? Then I open John 3:16. This is our theme, the love of Jesus.
They've had examples where they've been welcomed into villages because of the chief of the village has made a connection, and they can go to the Muslim mosque or the Buddhist temple, and they'll, on one side of the temple, they'll have the medical mission. On the other side of the temple, they're teaching Jesus.
Public school, we're teaching Muslim in high school and middle school because we want to see the young people see it. And we baptize in the middle public school. And a couple months ago, another province close to Lao border, the principal asking me to teach Jesus in the classroom. So it's wide open. Believe it or not, I have persecuted among Christians, not from the Buddhist people.
Get more pushback from Christians. From Christian. Anybody people. Else?
Okay.
All right, thank you, brother.
Thank
Any
you.
Closing thoughts? You got about 1 minute.
Well, again, I'm so thank you so much. And, you know, when the wartime, talk about war, when I lived through it, United States been supporting, fighting communists. But 1975, when the United States pulled out, we had a gun but don't have no bullet, we lost the war. And this work here, I learned that I am on the frontier. We're not physical fighting, but spiritual fighting, and I need your prayer. I need you supporting the work there. I said many people, they never heard good news yet, the remote area. So pray for me, have more strength, and I don't know right now, I give my life to the Lord, but I ask for your prayer for the work there.
Thank you, brother, appreciate
it. Thank you.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and worship together.